Today on Real Radio.
When you've got idols, you've got to build a shrine for them and set them up. You go, polish them up. You got to build stuff for them. You've got to protect them. We don't have to do that for our God.
You make me, break me, change my life completely. Always my days, I freely give you my praise. My heart is in your hands, let me feel your touch. Lord, I live for your love.
Hello and welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. We invite you to listen, learn, and be challenged by the Bible, God's Word. On today's edition of Real Radio, our teacher continues in his series through the Old Testament book of Judges. We're now in chapter 17 and looking at the first 13 verses. It's a mini-series called So Goes a Nation. Now, this passage contains one of the familiar verses we find more than once in this book of Judges. And in those days, there was no king in Israel, and everyone did what was right in his own eyes. Here's Pastor Jack Hibbs.
Godlessness. People do whatever's right in their own eyes. Who's leading? That's a great question. When are we going to wake up? The government's not leading. Clearly, they're having affairs and spending your money, and look at the news. Look what's happening. What's going on? Where's the statesman? This nation's full of politicians, but where's the statesman? Think about it. People who just say, you know what, I'm going to stand up for what I believe what's right for the nation, and this is my declaration of what's right for the nation, and I'm not going to waver on that, and I'm not here for a popularity contest. You either see it that way, and we agree together to what's best for the nation, not what's best for me, what's best for your children in the future. Or you do anything and everything to get the vote, lie, cheat, steal, and get in the office, and now you get to fly around in the airplane and all that kind of stuff. And it's out of control. Who's in charge? Who's leading? When there's no one leading, when there's no king, people do what's right in their own eyes. Does that not sound like America today? It is. Some of you are looking at me like, I don't know what you're talking about. God bless you. You're happy as a clam. That's great. You don't have a clue. And it's easy to live that way, and that's nice. It makes me feel good. Don't worry, I'll grow old faster for you. I'll watch out for you. And wow, it's just amazing. Look at verse five. It says, then the man Micah, he had a shrine. What a funny guy. I got idols. What are you going to do when you get idols? Where am I going to put these things? Well, you got to build a shrine. You got to build something. You know, my mom gave them to me. And after all, they're just little gods. And he made himself an ephod. Uh-oh. God told Moses, I want the ephod to be built exactly like this, and don't mess with it. Listen, are you guys with me? Hear this. You know what this guy's doing? This guy's building a false worship system. He could have found an Old Testament. He could have found a Torah somewhere and opened up the first five books of Moses. He could have read them. Gives the instructions. You don't mess with an ephod. God says, you don't mess with that thing. You put the 12 stones representing the nation of Israel, the tribes of Israel, and God says to put on the chest of the priest that I've ordained. And it was just like, think of a cereal box, and you take the lid off the top. The ephod was open on the top, hung around the priest's neck, right on his heart. And the Urim and Thummim was placed in there, a black stone and a white stone. And God, who established the position of the priest by his ordination, would speak to the people by first speaking to the priest. And that priest better say only and exactly what the Lord had told him to say. And often it was done with the Urim and Thummim, this white or black stone. Aren't you glad you have the Holy Spirit today over the heart of your life? So this little guy, I keep saying little. I have no idea how high or short, fat, skinny he was. He sounds little to me. He has an ephod, and look, he's got household idols. Verse 5, and he consecrated one of his sons to become a priest. He doesn't have any authority to do this. What did he do? Hey, kid, come here. I'm on this craze. I got this thing going. Your grandma gave me a couple of idols. I got a little shrine for him now. Things are really going my way. I tell you what, eeny, meeny, miny, mo, you are now the prophet Joe. And so you're the guy. He starts establishing this stuff. Now watch out what happens here, because he has no authority to do this. He establishes his son as a priest. Verse 6 makes that tremendous thing. There was no king in Israel, so, of course, everyone does what's right in his own eyes. But what's interesting is, why not get to know the real Lord God of the Bible? They had access to finding out who the Lord was. But no, they create their own worship system, their own stuff. They're going to go about it their own way. And here's something that I find very interesting. This guy's calling the shots. He's a nobody. He starts calling the shots, building something up. By the way, this is all going on in the northern part of Israel, and which will lead to tremendous disasters in the future. But this guy is beginning to establish a self-made religion. And church, listen, if you're in a religion, if someone's visiting here tonight, if you're in a religion that requires you to honor a man, you're going to see this guy's setting himself up to be honored. Because if he's ordaining priests now, what does that make him? Like the Pope? Who is this guy? Who made you the Pope, we say today? Who made you the Pope? Somebody could have said, the son could have said, who made you the Pope? He starts doing this stuff. It's all going to his head. So, listen, it all comes back around. When there's a man self-appointed religious leadership thing going on, you'll have things like this. Listen, if a religion requires you to honor a man or a prophet, or exalt a man or a prophet, or worship a man or a prophet, you're in the middle of a cult. You're in the middle of a cult. You can drive to certain states, you can go to certain buildings, you can go to certain countries, and it's this thing. It's the exaltation of a man. What's interesting to me, if you've ever noticed, now think this through for a moment. Whenever a man is in power, or a human system is in power, have you ever noticed that when you criticize it, it goes insane, you can't take it? It's too fragile. I've noticed, as you have, that when somebody attacks the Bible, Christians don't go around burning cars. Huh? Is not the Bible attacked every day? Haven't we been mocked in school? You're a Christian? Boy, what century did you fall out of? Everybody else is going to get this answer right, I'm sure, but our friend Jack the Christian, he'll be a little slow, so we'll wait for him. I don't jump up and choke the teacher. You talk about Jesus like that, I'm going. Don't do that. I'm going to tell you why we don't do that in a moment. But listen, somebody writes a book cursing Jesus, calling it the Da Vinci Code. Is the world waking up to find out that guy just used everybody and printed a bunch of baloney to make billions of bucks? He's laughing all the way to the bank. He's probably a Christian laughing at you guys. And he probably came to Christ after all this stuff. He's like, I was wrong. Maybe he'll accept the Lord and give all your money back for buying the book. I don't think so. But listen, the guy, what's his face? Dan Brown. He can't stand Christians. He said so. I can't stand him. But you know, I bet you Dan Brown's not afraid to sit down and eat dinner with a Christian. He's not going to get a fork in the face. No, Christian's going to say, man, what's with you, Dan Brown? Well, you're crazy. I'm going to pray for you. How did you come to this conclusion? Let's talk about that. Listen, there's some religions, you begin to question or criticize, they can't handle it. They'll flip out. I've never seen Christians threaten to kill anybody over a cartoon that mocks Jesus or God. That happens every day, people mocking. They did a thing in the New York City, in the museum. They made a picture out of Jesus from human feces. No, but no Christians burned down the museum, the New York Museum of Art. Is it disgusting? Is it blasphemous? Absolutely. But no Christians get in it. Let's get buses. Get buses, and we're going to go there and drive those buses right into that stinking museum. Nobody does that. We don't need to do that. We don't even think like that. You want to know why? Here's the bottom line why. When you've got idols, you've got to build a shrine for them and set them up. You go, polish them up. You got to build stuff for them. You got to defend them. You've got to protect them. You've got to fight for them. We don't have to do that for our God. Number one, he doesn't need our help. Number two, he's real. He is going to settle the score someday that the Bible says he has appointed when. Amen. And you know what? That's our God. And you don't build shrines, and you don't have zodiacs, and you don't have horoscopes to make up the difference. God, do I take this job or not? God, speak to me. No? And because of impatience, we go straight. Well, I mean, I'm not saying you do. I'm saying people will go straight to the fortune cookie or zodiac or whatever it is. It's wrong. But you might say, wait a minute, Pastor. You said a moment ago, you know, if they worship a man or if they worship, you know, aren't you Christians guilty of that, worshiping a man? Nope. No, where'd you get that question from if that's in your head? I'm glad you asked that question. Where's it in your head? Do Christians worship a man? When they worship Jesus, they're worshiping a man. No, we're not. You've not read the Bible carefully, have you? It's very important. You want to jot something down? We're out of time. I'm just getting started. This is like page one here. Jot it down. Quick, before the children's ministry goes crazy, you're going to want to write this down. Don't ask me for it later. Write it down. Okay, do Christians worship a man when they worship Jesus? You might say, yes, they do. Well, wait a minute. Cool your jets. Hang on. Isaiah 48:12 says, listen to me, O Jacob and Israel, my called. I am he. I am the first, and I'm also the last. Okay, so whoever God is, he's the first and the last. Who says? Well, that's from the prophet Isaiah from the Jewish Bible. Isaiah 44:6. When we worship Jesus, are we worshiping a man or are we worshiping someone else? Thus says the Lord God, the King of Israel and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first and I am the last, and besides me, there's no God. All right, so how many gods are there? One. And his title is the first and the last. Who says? Isaiah says. Isaiah 41:4. Who has performed and done it, calling the generations from the beginning? I, the Lord, am the first, and I am with the last. I am he. That's an interesting little clue right there, by the way. Did you hear that? In the Hebrew, it's I am the Lord, I am the first, and I am with the last. I am he. Hang on. Isaiah 43:10. You are my witnesses, saith the Lord, and my servant whom I've chosen, that you may know and believe me and understand that I am he. Before me there was no God formed, nor shall there be after me. Speaking about the eternal existence of God. He will never cease. Revelation 1:8. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, saith the Lord, who is, who was, who is to come, the Almighty. Isn't that, I love that when he does that. You guys okay? I know we're over. We're over. I'll have to pick it up next time here real soon, but we're not done yet. Revelation 4:8. The four living creatures before the throne of God, each having six wings, were full of eyes around and within. And they do not rest day or night, saying, Holy, holy, holy Lord God Almighty, who is to come. Attributes of God, names of God. Revelation 1:11. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the first and the last. Remember who the first and the last was when we started this? And what you write, or what you see, write in a book and give it to the seven churches. Revelation 21:6. And he said to me, it's done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. Remember, there's only one God. And this one God says he's the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last, the one who is to come, the Almighty. There's only one God. Revelation 22:13, I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, the first and the last. Revelation 1:17, and when I saw him, John said, I fell at his feet as dead. But when he laid his right hand upon me, he said to me, do not be afraid, I am the first and I am the last. Isn't that awesome? Can you imagine John just freaking out? What does the first and the last look like? Verse 18, Revelation 1:18. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. It's the next verse. Did you get that? The next verse? He says in 1:17, I am the first and the last. I am he who lives and was dead, and behold, I'm alive forevermore. The first and the last is what we started out with in Isaiah 48:12. He's the first and the last. You only have one God. You can't have two firsts and two lasts. Revelation 2:8. And to the angel of the church at Smyrna, that's in Turkey, write these things, saith the first and the last, who was dead and came back to life. Hello! 1 John 5:20, and we know that the Son of God has come and given us an understanding that we may know him who's true. And we are in him who is true. In his Son, Jesus Christ, this is the true God and eternal life. 1 Timothy 3:16, without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was revealed in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen by angels, preached among the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. That's the ministry of Jesus. It's called the Gospels. Titus 2:13, we look for the blessed hope and glorious appearing of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. Exodus 3:14, and God said to Moses, I am who I am. And he said, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, I am has sent me to you. Moreover, God said to Moses, thus you shall say to the children of Israel, the Lord God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob has sent me to you. This is my name forever. John 8:58, Jesus said to them, most assuredly, I say to you, before Abraham was, I am, the same exact name. John 8:24, therefore I said to you that you will die in your sins, Jesus said to them, for if you do not believe that I am, you will die in your sins. John 10:32, Jesus answered and said to them, many good works I have shown you of my Father, for which of these will you stone me? The Jews answered and said to him, for a good work we stone thee not, but for blasphemy, because you, being a man, declare yourself to be God. They understood exactly what he was saying. Titus 2:10, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior. So Jesus was just as announced as our Savior, but now the Bible says God is our Savior. But we only have one God. Jude 1:24 and 25. Now to him who is able to keep you from stumbling and to present you faultless before his presence with glory and joy, to God our Savior, who alone is wise. Isn't that great? 1 Timothy 4:10. For to this end we both labor and suffer reproach because we trust in the living God who is the Savior of all mankind. Isaiah 42:8. I am the Lord, that is my name, and my glory I will not share with another. Hosea 13:4. Yet I am the Lord your God ever since the land of Egypt, and you shall know no God but me, for there is no Savior but me. I thought Jesus was the Savior. He is. Isaiah 45:21, tell and bring forth your case. Let them take counsel together. Who has declared this from ancient time? Who has done it from that time? Have not I, the Lord, and there is no God but me, a just God and Savior? There is none beside me. Isaiah 43:11, I, even I, am the Lord, and besides me there's no Savior. Psalm 68:4, sing to God, sing praises to his name, exalt him who rides on the clouds. His name is Yah, rejoice before him. Proverbs 30:4, you all know it, you got it memorized. Who has ascended into heaven or descended? Who has gathered the wind in his fist and who has bound the waters up in his garment? Who has established the ends of the earth? What's his name? And what is the name of his son, if you can tell? Psalm 2:11. Serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, S-O-N, lest he be angry and you perish in the way when his wrath is kindled but a little. Blessed are all those who put their trust in him. Isaiah 7:14. Therefore I'll show you a sign. The Lord, behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and he shall call his name Emmanuel, meaning God dwells among us. Luke 1:30. Then the angel said to her, do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. Behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and you shall call his name Jesus. He will be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. Philippians 2:10. At the name of Jesus, every knee should bow, of those in heaven and those on earth and those under the earth, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Philippians 3:20. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for the Savior, the Lord, Jesus Christ. That's awesome. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. That makes him a Savior. Just six more and we're done. John 4:42. And so the Samaritan said to the woman, now we believe, not because you've said this, for we ourselves have heard him, and we know that this is indeed the Christ, the Savior of the world. 1 John 4:14. And we have seen and testified that the Father has sent the Son as Savior of the world. 2 Peter 1:11. For so an inheritance will be supplied to you abundantly in the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's why, church, Romans 10:13 says, whoever calls upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Listen. The Bible tells us in Acts 4:12 that there is salvation in no other name, for there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Final verse, Philippians 2:6. Jesus Christ, who, being in the form of God, did not consider it something to be grasped or consider it to be robbery to be equal with God, made himself of no reputation, taking the form of a man, a bondservant, and coming in the likeness of a man, being found in the appearance as a man, humbled himself and became obedient to the point of death, even the death of the cross.
Pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs of Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California. In a presentation taken from Judges chapter 17 in the first 13 verses. This is actually a mini-series called So Goes a Nation, and of course we'll pick things up on Monday's edition of Real Radio. Now before we wrap up today's program, we want to make sure that you get in touch with us here at Real Radio and let us know you're listening. Now there's more than one reason for this. Quite obviously, we want to know who you are and whether or not Real Radio is having an influence in your growth as a believer in Messiah Jesus. Secondly, we want to be good stewards of the resources that God has allowed us to manage here at Real Radio. These are difficult times, and we need to make some crucial decisions about the direction of the radio ministry of Real Radio. Now, when you get in touch, you also have the opportunity to partner with this radio outreach. First of all, you can visit us at realradioactive.org, realradioactive.org, and click where it says Support Real Radio. It's right there on the left-hand column. If you'd rather call us, here's our toll-free number, 877-RR-RADIO, 877-RR-RADIO. Or if you'd simply like to send in your tax-deductible contribution, here's our address, Real Radio, Box 1273, Chino Hills, California, 91709. And of course, all of our contact information can always be located at realradioactive.org. Real Radio with Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills in Southern California, and made possible by the generous contributions of its listeners. Till next time, we at Real Radio and Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word.
Inside, you shine. amidst this broken daylight.
Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs is sponsored by Calvary Chapel, Chino Hills, California.